So yesterday we discussed the Tosfos Dibur Maskil Chutz, and if you recall, there were a couple of suggestions as to what the Havamina was, what the Maskana was. Tosfos thinks, wait a minute, the Rov is not enough to grant the Motzi rights to keep the Nifal, because Ein Holcha B'Maman Achar HaRov. In Momenus, Rov does not reign supreme. And Tosfos answers the problem with Rov and Dini Momenus is that Rov clashes up against the Chazaka. And in this case, the person who owns the coup is not considered Muchzak, at least outside of 50 Amid. Therefore, the Motzi has a right to claim, based on Ruvah the Alma, that it's his. What was Tosfos thinking in the Havmina? What was he thinking in the Maskana? And we discussed this at great length yesterday. Today, I think I have another possibility, which I'd like to discuss with you after we see the rest of the Tosfos. Tosfos says, well, if you've postulated that there's no muchzak and therefore rov is meaningful and powerful, even in Didi Mominos, then when somebody finds a lost object in a city that's mostly kusim, which means he's allowed to keep it according to the rov, then we should apply the rule of rov and let him keep it. Why the Rabbanan insists that's chayv lahachriz, and if somebody comes and claims it, if a Jew gives a simon, then the motzi has to forfeit the object to the person who gives the simon. After all, we should rely on rov. We shouldn't even obligate him in the midst of hachraz of hashava, because we should assume it fell from a goy. That was Tosfos's kash. And Tosfos therefore breaks new ground in explaining the Rabbana based on the takonas chachamim. It's not really the din d'oraisa. On the d'oraisa level, enochinami, he can rely on rov that it fell from a goy. That was what we saw in Tosfos. That's as far as the ratio of the Mishnah. In the Sefer of the Mishnah, you have a very interesting case where you find the Nipal equidistant between two Shofchos. So what do we do in that case? Mechtzal Mechtza, Yachloko. And here the Achronim ask a very interesting question. There's a Sugyim Bav Metzia, Daf Chof Ches, that says that if you have two people claiming a lost object for themselves, each one comes with a Simon, that's called Simonim V'Simonim, then the law is that we split it. Is that correct?
No, it's not.
I like to test you on that, but I hate when you get it wrong. I'm just trying to wake you up a little. Yeah, in that case, we say Yehi Munach. Good? So the Achronim ask, why is it that in our case of a Nipal, we don't know if it belongs to Reuven or Shimon, we split it? It doesn't mean that we take the bird and split it, you know, like Shlomo HaMelech with the sword. But in the case of Simonim and Simonim, we have to say Yehi Munach. What's the difference between the two? So again, just to reiterate, the question is how to reconcile our Mishnah with the famous Sugya Bav Metzia Chof Ches, Simonim V'Simonim Yehi Munach Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu. Does anybody want to take a stab at it? What would be the easiest way of reconciling the two? So why should that force you to say Yehi Munach, whereas in the case of Mechtzal Mechtza, we're going to split it in half? What do you say? Yeah, our case is more of a suffix, or Simonim and Simonim is more of a suffix. You see, it's hard to gauge which is more of a suffix. In both cases, you've got Reuven and Shimon claiming the lost object for himself, whether it's Reuven who's claiming with the Simon, and Shimon likewise, whether Reuven claims because it's Karo.
One's a Ramai.
Oh, Vadi Ika Ramai.
Yeah.
I was always thinking if we had a rove, you know, based on white. Anyway.
If two people lost the same object, they both lost something online, they both lost it, they would be claiming something that they lost. The question is, whose is it?
Yeah, that's it. Just that they lost it.
But they both give a similar.
You mean there were two objects with each one had a simon that was similar.
And the third paragraph speaks about George and Mona.
Ooh, excellent, Brad. I'm very impressed here. This is what you call a big Talmud Chacham, or at least a budding Talmud Chacham, because if he's quoting Dror de Vimona, you got to be impressed. Okay, what is Jorah de Mamona? And how is it different than any other suffix that we're used to when there's a claimant, or it's a plaintiff and a defendant in Didi Mominus? You're on.
I mean, what I've got is, George, what is an inherent suffix? We went to suffix before.
I wouldn't say inherent, although that's a good word. I would say objective suffix. What do I mean when I say that Jorah de Mamona is an objective suffix? The suffix predates what?
The claims.
Excellent, the claims, the times. We had it at the beginning of Bar Basra, for those who were here way back when the wall falls between two chatzeros, and we don't know who owns the stones of that wall, and even before each one, Reuven on his side and Shimon on his side, comes forward to claim the stones, we already have an objective suffix. That's called Jorah de Mamona. Now what happens if after a Jorah de Mamona situation emerges, someone grabs onto it and says it's mine? Is that worth a dime? Once this Jorah de Mamona, the Rishonim say, Tfiso li achar shenolad asafek, is not meaningful. So if it was in your possession when the suffix began, when it emerged, that's one story. But if after the suffix already emerged, you grab it, you're grabbing it is meaningless. This is not the law of the jungle. Nobody allows you to grab something when there's an objective suffix. And what does the halacha determine we do with this object when there's a Jorah de Mamona? What should we do with it? We know that it belongs to Reuven, it belongs to Shimon, they both have an equal claim objectively. What should you do with it? I can't eat. Yachloku, we should divide it. Why? Because Yachloku is tzedek tzedek tirdof. It sort of is our approximation of justice. We can't know for sure, but at least let's cut our losses. He'll get half and he'll get half. But in which case, Babasar Babatsiya, do we have a Jorah de Mamona? Babasar. Why? Even before they come into Bezdin to claim, Reuven with his Shalvach and Shimon with his, we already have an objective suffix. Who owns the bird? Because where is it located? Who has Karov? Punk in the middle. Equally distant. And therefore they both have an equal claim. That claim on the part of both Reuven and Shimon is a given even before they walk into Bezdin. I don't need their tinus and tvius in front of Bezdin, like you said before. Masha Enkin above Mitzia, what kind of suffix do we have above Mitzia? It's not a Jorah de Mamona suffix. The suffix is a result of what? Of the tinus. So you have Reuven tiny with his proof, his evidence, his simon. Shimon comes in and he claims it's his, he induces his evidence. And at the end of the day, you have one evidence against the other, you're weighing one claim against the other. The suffix is nolad in Bezdin and is generated by the tinus. Now, what do we do with the person who found this object? Well, if we could answer the following question, what would have happened if Bezdin would have found the object? Imagine if, instead of a private citizen, Bezdin would swoop down on this object. What would they do with it? Let's take the case of Baba Basra. Bezdin found a gozel that was equally distant between two shofars. What would they do with it?
Split it.
Even if Reuven is, I don't care where he is, he's out in Medina Sayam, and Shimon is nowhere to be found. You know, we can't investigate them. I don't need that tinus. There's already a dual claim or a dual tfisa on this mammon, on this gozel, on a chefsho mammon, that generates the din of Yachloku. Therefore, when you find that gozel, and you ask yourself the question, what would Bezdin have done if they were here? And if you're filling in the shoes of Bezdin, what should you do with this gozel? Yachloku, that's our mission. But in the case where there's tinus and tfiyas, here when you pick it up as a private citizen, you become obligated in what mitzvah? Hashavas Aveda. How do you fulfill Hashavas Aveda? See, in Hashavas Aveda, you can't cut your losses. Tzedek tzedek tirdov, to try to find an equilibrium between two valid claims, that's something that can apply to a Bezdin or to a citizen who fills in for Bezdin when the objective suffix requires a Jorah de Mamona Yachloku. There is no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda here. The mitzvah is tzedek tzedek tirdof. Find the most just way of allotting the rightful owner his possession, and in two people who both have rightful claims, equal claims, each one is going to get hit. That's not the mitzvah Shabbos Aved. When the mitzvah Shabbos Aved applies, then we have an interesting concept. Namely what? Yehi Munach. How does Yehi Munach make any sense? You can put it back if you need to. I don't mind. Yeah, okay. What's unique about Yehi Munach? Yehi Munach means you are frozen. You know, freeze the keta, as we call it. You know, it's got to be. You can't give up something under the law of Hashavas Aveda unless you're giving it up to its rightful owner. And since you don't know who the rightful owner is, this one has a simon and this one has a simon, leave it where it is. Hopefully, in not such a long time, someone will come and tell us who is the rightful owner. Who's that? Eliyahu HaNavi. And then you'll fulfill the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda the way it's meant to be. That should be the answer to the question of Rabbi Elkanah. For some reason, Rabbi Elkanah has a different answer.
Why shouldn't we say in that case, go and see Kol Dei Gavra?
Kol Dei Gavra only applies when a third party could jump in and claim that he owns it. So, for example, if you have two shovchos, it belongs to either Reuven Shovach or Shimon. There's no Levi. So there's no Kol Dei Gavra. In the case of an Aveda, Reuven comes forward with the Simon, Shimon comes forward with the Simon. No one else is there to claim. We have every right to assume, by default, that it's either Reuven's or Shimon. So there's no Kol Dei Gavra. I would have said, Yachloku, cut your losses. But you can't do that when the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda comes into play. Because the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda forces you to what? Hold on to it until you can absolutely guarantee yourself that you're giving it back to its rightful owner. Rabbi Elkanah comes up with a whole other answer. But before we present Rabbi Elkanah's answer, I would like to present my answer to this question. I would think that it works like this. In the case of our Mishnah, Mechza al Mechza here in Bava Basra, each individual, the Baal HaShovach Reuven, the Baal HaShovach Shimon, has a claim of Karov. Neither claim of Karov is superior to the other one. Reuven claims Karov, he's the closest, and Shimon claims he's the closest. Each one has a power of Karov. We cannot neglect that power, that koach, called Karov. The Torah says, Ha'ir HaKrova. Therefore, Reuven has to be awarded half of the object, and Shimon likewise has to be awarded half the object.
They both have Karov, neither have Karov.
They both have Karov. Yeah. That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, but they cancel each other out.
I don't think so. Why should they cancel each other out? I'll tell you where.
So let's say there's 10. If there's 10,
Karov's both of them, it shouldn't matter now. I mean, there's no Karov.
So each one claims Karov. So each one has a proof. There's objective evidence that it's mine.
Up to 100 shofos all around. There's one right in the middle.
Each one is a Karov. If it's in the middle of the hub.
There's not nothing. There's no.
But what happens in Simonim and Simonim?
Nothing.
One is better than the other. We don't know which one it is.
Yeah,
do you follow what I'm saying?
They can't split it up because one is better than the other. This one, there is no.
It doesn't make sense to split it up because your proof is contradicted by my proof. And therefore, each proof is negated by the other proof. If that be the case, you're left with a situation where nobody has the conclusive proof. So, what do you do when you find an aveda that no one yet has won the day with a conclusive proof? If there's no evidence, Yehi Munach Hashiyov Eliyahu. Rabbi Elkanah sees it the exact opposite way. He thinks that in the case of Simonim v'Simonim, each one has rights to the object. Instead of seeing the Simonim v'Simonim canceling one each other, we see them as mutually coexistent. And therefore, you can't give up half to anyone because then you're undermining him. Yeah. He's got Simonim. In the case of Yachloku, in the case of, a Gozo, which is equidistant between two Shavchos, there, Rabbi Elkanah says, they cancel each other out. And therefore, if I award half to Reuven, I'm not undermining Shimon, because Shimon doesn't have a claim to Karov, and the same is true in the reverse. What I'd like to do is put this Rav Elchanan on the side for a minute, and let's go back to our Tosfos. What was Tosfos thinking when he raised the question, Ein holcha b'vomen achar rov? Keep in mind that when you find a gozel outside of a radius of 50 amah to the nearest shovach, the Mishnah says, Harelu shalmotzel, you can keep it. Does that make sense? Tosfos says that the reason you can keep it is why? The opening line in Tosfos, everybody? Rov. Ruba the Alma. The only problem I have is that Ruba is a power that's granted to someone who has a tviya. He has a claim on Mama. He comes into Beis Din and registers his claim. He supports his claim with a proof, with evidence called Rov. But Ruvain found the object. If he found the object, he has to return it to its owner. He himself admits, he's not a liar, that he doesn't own the object. This bird didn't fly out of his coop. It flew out of someone else's coop. So in the interim, he's holding it on. He's holding on to this gozel on behalf of whom? On behalf of the rightful owner. Anybody know what that's called? When you hold on to the shoulder, it's... And someone who finds an Aveda lost object, what status does he have? Is he a Shomer Chinam? Is he a Shomer Sachar? What level of Shmir does he have to give? Anybody remember this? Did you learn Akones? So there's Machlok Shin Rab and Rava, what the status of a Shomer Aveda is. Whether he's a Shomer Chinam, he's not being paid for it. Or he's a Shomer Sachar, he's being paid for it because of something called Pruta de Rav Yosef. Ring any bell? What's proof to Rav Yosef? No. Someone's knocking on the door. Who's knocking on the door? A poor person. And what does he want? He wants stucco. Do you have to give him stucco? If you're involved in the Aveda, let's say, for example, you found the talus, the Gemara says, and you're shaking out the talus, you don't have to give the Ani a pruta. I feel bad for the Ani. But why doesn't he get his pruta? Therefore, since he gets the benefit, says Rav Yosef, that if an ani comes by, again, it's a very convoluted kind of svar over here that has to be worked out. You know, it's got 50 million ifs. But if at the moment that you're working with the Aveda and you're protecting it, at that moment someone knocks on the door and you don't have to give him proof to the Rav, because also it's but when it's different, since if you were paid for the Shmira, you become a Shomer Sach. But you see one thing. Yad Shomer ki yad balabais. When I find a lost object, I'm holding on to it on behalf, I'm the unappointed custodian of the Baal Havid. I am representing him. No, if I'm representing him, then clearly I'm not representing myself. I have no claim to possession. If I have no claim to possession, then do I have a right to claim Rove? So Tosfos says, in this case, even Reb Chanina would agree that Rov completely loses out. Because your responsibility as a finder is to discover the loser. You are therefore not holding on to the object on behalf of yourself to claim that you're a muhsuk and claim ownership on the object. You're out there in an honest-to-goodness investigation and discovery process to try to locate the Baal HaVeda. Therefore, Rove should be completely neutralized insofar as Rove doesn't support someone who has a claim, because the finder cannot be a claimer. And therefore, by default, you fall back into Karov. And if you fall back into Karov, the Torah recognizes the power of Karov to determine who owns this gozo. Give it back to him. He's the closest one. Even if you find it outside of the radius of 50 am. So Tosfos says, Ein holchim b'vomen achar Rov means that you cannot use Rove unless you have a special status here of being a muhsuk. If you're a muhsuk on this mom, and now you want to protect your muhsukus, Rove. But a Baal Aveda, Shomer Aveda, who has his chayv in Hashava, he has to give it back to its rightful owner. He has no rightful claim to ownership, and therefore he cannot wave the flag of Rove. Is that I don't understand the mission? How could the Mishnah say in this case that Rove beats out Karov?
Maybe if the
when you found
Karov, then
No, not in the case of Metzomets. I'm going back, we're turning back to the first part of the Mishnah, right? What happens? You find the Gozel. And the closest Shovach, we'll call it Reuven, is Reuven Shovach. You can keep him for yourself. Why? Tos says, because you, Shimon, the finder, have to support you a role. What do you mean to support you a role? You're not claiming the object for yourself. Reuven Shovach, you have no status in Beis Din as a Tovah. Why? Because who's the real Mosak? The owner. I am on a very temporary basis protecting and preserving the object on behalf of its true owner. So we're going to use all the methods that we can, employ all the mochichim and the rayos that we can employ in order to establish who is the real owner. But you as the finder are protecting the muchzakus, the possession of the true owner. Therefore, your robe is meaningless. It doesn't register. That was Tosus' cash. And what was Tosus' answer? How does Tosus in his answer reinstate Rove? Look at Tosus. Let's read it inside. Tosus says, "Avolcha de leka chazaka de mamona," and therefore is leading Basaruba. What does he mean, leka chazaka de mamona? Who? Which chazaka? Whose chazaka is he discussing? I'm saying, when he says there is no chazaka, whose chazaka could have been a chazaka, but it's not a chazaka? The Baal Shem. Excellent. I was afraid you'd fall into my trap, but you didn't. I'm proud of you for that. The answer is, the Baal Shovach is not Nuchzok. In the Havamina, you see, the Teretz of the Tosus gives away the Havamina. Usually I don't like to do that. I like to understand the Havamina independent of the Teretz. But in this case, I think the Teretz clinches our understanding of the Havamina. The Havamina understood that the Baal Shovach was a Nuchzok. Why? Because whenever you find an Aveda, you're involved, as we said before, in an honest-to-goodness discovery project to try to locate the owner. So therefore, you are machzik, in a physical sense, but halachically, the real true machzik is the Baal HaAveda. In this case, that the Baal HaShovach, we'll call him Reuven, has the power of Karov, he therefore, in the meantime, is determined and defined as the Baal HaGozel. If he's the Baal HaGozel, then you, who found it, Shimon, who found it, you are really an extension of his Luchzakus. Therefore, you have no right to claim, and therefore, your robe is completely null and void. What is Tosus' answer? In this case, there is no Baal Shovach Muchzak. The Baal Shovach does not have Muchzakus. If he doesn't have Muchzakus, then what does the Motzi have a right to do? To claim it for himself. Possess it for himself. And then he can use what to prove his claim? Rope. But both sides, what do we gain from this new interpretation of the Shaka Retaliah in Texas?
Why would you think he's Muzak in the first place?
Who? The Baal Shovach? He's got Karl. And therefore, if all things are equal, I assume he came out of his Shovach. What other Shovach could have come out of? So, based on the fact that Rov cannot support anyone who is holding on to something on behalf of someone else, he's a Shomer, he's a Yad HaRichter, he's an extended arm, if you will, of the Muxam, then the Motzi, right, we're back to Pesach again, the Motzi Matzah, right, the Motzi has no right to claim Rov. Rov could support a claim, but you're not a claimer, a claimant. You are not a contestant here in this Din Mama. And that's how it is in every Aveda. In every Aveda, you find an Aveda, you are holding on to the Aveda on behalf of the person who owns it. So Tosus answers no. In this case, I have to tell you, says Tosus, the Baal Shovach is not Muchzak. And if the Baal Shovach is not Muchzak, then the Motzi can claim Rov. Why is the Baal Shovach not Muchzak? No. I'm saying, let's say the Baal HaShovach is Karov. But why is he not called Muchzak? Do you remember the paragraph? I don't know, did anybody read this paragraph that I wrote out for them?
Yeah.
And what concept did I try to penetrate here, you know, into the discussion to explain why the Baal HaShovach is not Muchzak? Anybody?
Not as well as outside of possession.
And what's that called? Again, the language here is very important. It's what?
Shame of.
The shame of itself undermines and cancels the muhzakus of the original ba. But there's one exception. What's that? A dover sheish bo siman. If it's a dover sheish bo siman, then the Torah says that siman carries the chayfetz, in a sense attaches it like in a puppet show. It attaches it back to the muhzakus of the bailin. That siman is sort of like a long string that attaches it back. But if there's no siman, then right now it's got a shame ovud. And a shame ovud is mafkia. It completely nulls and voids muzakus. If it nulls and voids muzakus, now there's a vacuum for Rov to step in. Now the motzi could claim and wave the banner of Rov. He can now take over the muzakus and support his muzakus with a Rov. But Paul said, what do I gain from this approach? I mean, yesterday I think we had two good pshatim. Why throw in a third? This will segue into the second half of Tosfos. I am thrilled about this pshat today because I think it gives the Tosfos a certain structure, a certain flow. There's a continuity in this Tosfos. Right away, you've just established now that if we have reason to negate the original Bailin, to neutralize his muzakus, then the motzi could claim that he's the matzi. He can possess it for himself. So the object has a shame of avud. But now the issue is the original Bailin muzak or not? Well, you've told me that at Dover Shembo Simon, the original Bailin has no muzakus. Now Tosfos extends it a little bit further. Even if it has a siman, the original Bailin have no muzakus. Why? What's the case? What's the case in which in a dover sheyesh bo siman, the original owner forfeits his muzakus, and the shame of it wins out, and therefore the one who finds it now can claim I possess it, and bring all the robes in the world to support his claim. What is that situation? Everybody look inside to the second half of Tosfos and tell me the answer. This is what I call learning good pshat. Rabosai, what do you say? What would establish the shame of avud and therefore undermine and neutralize the muhzakus of the original Bailin? What do you say? I didn't hear. Again, what force, what element will smash the original Bailin and knock him out of the ring? Out of the ring.
Yeah.
Rov Kusin. What? What does Rov Kusin tell me?
Majority of people find an argument to be Jewish.
Who? But who lost the object?
A non-Jew.
If a non-Jew lost the object, then the whole mitzvah of Hashem Sanfeita falls away. Tosfos says, what gives the original owner muzakus?
The fact that he
doesn't
give
you the mitzvah of Hashem Sanfeita. When the Torah says that despite the shame of avud, the finder has to return it. He's got to do everything, not you know, every leaf on not leave, leave no leaf unturned to return the object to its owner. That itself, that mitzvah, that obligation of Hashavas Aveda, reinstates the muzakus of the Oved. And the shame of it doesn't bother me. Because the finder is now responsible to do what? How far does he have to go?
Turn every leaf.
Every leaf. He's got to go as far as he can. No stone, don't leave any stone unturned. If that be the case, says Tosfos, I don't know if there's any mitzvah Hashavas Aveda in this case. In Bob Mitzvah Choftal. Why? What was the makeup of the city? Rov Kusin. If it was Rov Kusin, then if I find an object in the city of Rov Kusin, I have right to assume that who lost it? A Kusin lost it. If a Kusin lost it, I'm not chayv in what? Hashavas Aveda. If I'm not chayv in Hashavas Aveda, I go back to the shame of Avud, which is Mafkir and Muzakis, the original Bible. Meaning that the original Bialim can't claim he's muchzak on it, because that din of muchzak is a result of the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. Once you activate the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, then you say that the finder is an extended arm protecting and preserving the object, as it were, on behalf of the owner. But if there is no Hashavas Aveda, if I can suspend the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, despite the fact that there's a simon in the object, based on Rov Kusim, Kusim lost it, if there's no Hashavas Aveda. There's no Hashavas Aveda, then the Motzi can claim it for himself. What protects and blocks the Motzi from claiming it for himself? With a Taina and a Tviya and a Muzakus, I want it, I'm not going to part with it. What steps in and breaks that up? The mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. But if I assume who lost it, the guy lost it, and there's no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda by a guy, he's then putting the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda to rest. The finder has a right to claim possession over it, because there's no mitzvah Hashavas. So the muzakus of the original Bialim is completely null and void based on shame avud. The object is out of his possession. He doesn't know where to find it. If there would have been a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, we would put it back into his possession, because then we would say that the motzi is operating on behalf of, well, the best interests of the original loser, and therefore it's an extension of his muzakus. He's a shomer and yad, shomer yad Bialim, fine, but if there's no Hashavas Aveda, and if I suspend the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda and negate the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda because of Rav Kusim, then the motzi has a right, you know, it's a clear path to grab the object on behalf of himself and claim possession over it. There's no Hashavas Aveda. If that be the case, Tosis doesn't understand the sheet of the Chachamim. The sheet of the Chachamim say, no, he's got to find the owner. He's no more than a showman. And therefore he has to do achroza and go through the whole nine yards. Why? What happened to Rav Kusim? So now we understand Tosis' answer. What did the Takanas Chachamim achieve?
It reinstated
the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Torah says, Hashavas Aveda kan, you're in a robe Akum, you assume it came from an Akum, no Hashavas Aveda. Chachamim step in and say, we're going to institute, we're going to be Machai Mesiv and resuscitate the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Is Memele if we resuscitate the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? Who becomes the Muxak now? The original Bialim. If the original Bialim of the Muxak, then the Motzi has no right to claim what? Rov. He has no Muxak to claim Rov. So the Rov Kusim falls away. And that's the picture. If this be the case, I mean, we begin to understand the whole Yesod of Rav Elchanan in the Sugya of Simonim and Simonim. Yehimunach. The reason why it's Yehimunach is because once you pick up this object, and Rav Elchanan doesn't spell this out, and you're obligated, because it's a double shape for Simon, to return it to its original owner, you become a shomer, a muchzakus, as a yada arichta, as an extension on behalf of the Bialim. But who is the Bialim? Is it Ruvenu as a Simon, or is it Shimon as a Simon? Well, it would be an avla gedola. It would be a terrible thing if you were to give up even half of the object to one of those two, undermine the rights and the ownership of the other one, because he has simonim. You might be the valid, you know, appointed agent on behalf of Shimon, and you're going to take this object and give it to Reuven, or half of it. You can't do that. So you're an agent as a shomer, as a machzik, a yada arichta on behalf of the Bialim, but we don't know who the Bialim is. Is it Reuven who has one simon, Shimon has a different simon, or the same simon, whatever it might be? We don't know if it's for Reuven or Shimon. That's called the Emuna. But in our Mishnah, when you find a gozel outside of, or even inside of 50 Am, really makes no difference, but it's mechta, it's equally distant from two. Does it have a simon on it, this gozel? It has no simon. So there's no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. It's a different halacha. You can't steal it. You can't pocket it. It belongs either to Reuven and Shimon. We don't know to whom. So then the charge of Mamonis far might kick in, and then we say Yachlok. But again, Rabosei, just to summarize, our whole discussion really boils down to one question. Does the finder have a right to claim Muchzakus and support that Muchzakus with the robe? Tosus thinks he does not, because he's really holding it on behalf of the original owner. Karov would tell me that Baal Shovach Reuven, Baal Shovach Hakarov, is called the owner, and therefore you have no right to come with Rov. That was Tosin's question. Tosin answers his name. Is that so? In this case, Reuven the Baal Shovach is not a Muzak. He doesn't have Muzakas, the Dovah Shembo Simon. He has no claim to it. And therefore, says Tosus, if he has no claim, the one who finds it, absent the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, because there's no Simon, he can claim it for himself. And he's going to support that claim with what? With a roof. Then Tosus takes a step further and he says, if that be the case, then we don't understand the Rabbanan of Rav Shimon Elazar, because the Rabbanan say if you find an object in a city that's Rov Akum, and therefore who lost the object in all probability? The guy, there's no mitzvah Shom Saveda, then why can't you claim it for yourself? And therefore, Tosus is forced to answer Takonis Chachom. As you said very beautifully, Takonis Chachom reinstitutes the mitzvah Shom Saveda. And once doing so, who becomes Muzak? The Baal Aveda. He's going to come by with Simonim, identify it, we have to give it back to him. What happened to the Rove? You can't claim Rove. You have no right to claim Rove, because you're not a Baal Din. You're not a Muzak. You're not a Toveah. Yes?
Can you say a Simon? Right? It's only by a Dorshish Simon. Can you see that as causing Mitzvah Shavas Veda keeping the time?
I would agree with you. What generates the Mitzvah Shavas Veda is right. Finding an object that has a Simon.
What do you do in the case of Dorshish Simon?
Wait, Gozal?
The case of Kusim.
Well, the case of Kusim. So therefore, Yechayv and Hashem Saved, correct? But only on one condition. It's not enough to have a Simon. Another condition has to be met. You have to check off two boxes. Number one, it has a Simon. But number two, who lost it? The Jew was. And we have every right to assume that it fell from a gun. And therefore, the Mitzvah Shavah Saved is completely gone. If that be the case, then if I pick up something without a Mitzvah Shavah, I want to take it for myself. I'm a Musa. Go prove it's not mine.
I
don't want to go that far. I don't want to say that in the Dovah Shembo Simon I'm chayiv and Ashova, and the mitzvah kicks in, and therefore I forfeit my claim to it. No, if it's Dovah Shembo Simon, I pick it up and I want it for myself. Okay, so we didn't discuss the issue of Yeish. I mean, again, once the Chachamim reinstitute the mitzvah of Hashem Saveda, for some reason there's no Yeish. I mean, we discussed this. People are very optimistic, you know, holding on to that last straw that maybe a Jew will find it and I'll get it back because I have a seed. So he's not Messiah. But that's only after the Rabbanon made the Takana and instituted or reinstituted the mitzvah of Hashem Saveda. Good?
Why wouldn't it matter if there's anything
beyond
or not?
If what?
If it was within 50 amos of both houses.
So we didn't really get into this issue about within 50 amos and outside 50 amos. Apparently, the way you have to go here, I think, is that within 50 amos, the combination of Karov with Ashir, as we discussed originally, is such a powerful combination that even Rabbi Hanina would have to agree that all the roves in the world would not be powerful enough to undermine that deadly combination, that powerful explosive combination of Karo plus within 50 Am. The only thing you'll ask me is, if that be the case, why is the Gemara a few lines down, Tanan, going to use our Mishnah as an attack against Rabbi Hanina? Why can't Rabbi Hanina just say to the Gemara, that's no issue, it's within 50 Am? And the Gemara, based on that cash, is going to force Rabbi Hanina to reinterpret our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about a case where there is no other Shovah. What do you mean there is no other Shovah? If there's no other Shovah, then give it back to the Baal Shovah even outside 50 Am. And this is going to cause a whole landslide.
The Sefer
of the not the Metzal Metzal, but take a look. It's not.
Does that have to be 50 Am also?
I don't know. I really don't know. Again, that's going to depend on that Rashi that I told you about on the bottom.
Yeah, the Rashi on top seems that it is. The Rashi.
Right. So I guess we'll wait to see that next week. I just want to point out to you before we do a little Chumash in Mitzvah Hashem, is Tosus Dibra Maskel Bidaleka, and Tosus raises a very fundamental issue here based on a Gemara in Sota. Does anybody familiar with this? Have you taken a peek at it? The Tosus, I don't know if you opened up Sota or not. But what did Tosus find in the Gemara and Sota that really throws a monkey wrench into this whole sugya of Egla Rufa that we've been talking about?
It says that you don't can't
If there's no Bezdin in the closest city, then
exactly. So there's no Bezdin in the closest city, then who has to bring the Eglah Rufa? The next city over that has a Bezdin. Even though that city is not what? It's not a Krova. So it's an Irachoka that has to bring the Eglah Rufa. Why? Because that's the first city in proximity to the corpse that has a Bezdin. That really throws a monkey wrench in me. We've been operating with the premise that Karav tells me where the Rotzeh came from.
I mean, it sort of doesn't make sense, though. I mean,
how?
If there's two lands, one's Karav, there are two Karav lands, and one doesn't have a show up, one does. I'm not going to assume that the bird came from a place that, well, not a murderer, not bad.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, you have an issue here with the murder come out. That city is obligated in this whole process of Eglah Rufa.
Yeah.
But, you know, the chances are it came out of the closest city. I mean, the Torah says that in as many words, in such words. So why do you now take a further city and say that city becomes culpable, they're obligated in the mitzvah of Eglah Rufa? Why? Because they have a bezdin and the other city doesn't. And the Chasam Sofer is so bothered by this question of Tosfos, he comes up with the strangest svara. He says that a city that has a bezdin is responsible not only for itself, but it sort of spreads its wings over all the suburbs around, you know, that don't have a bezdin. It's a very strange kind of svara. So that's one question I want to leave with you. The next question I want to leave with you is the Tosfos Rid. But you know what? I think if we want to do a little chumash today, what do you say? Let's take a quick vote. Should we do the Tosfos Rid? But then I'm afraid we won't have enough time for chumash. Or should we do a little on the parasha? All in favor of parasha, raise your hand.
I'm okay.
Okay. All right, so we'll do some parasha.